It's showtime. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And the wait is finally over. All this year, we are going to the arcade in anticipation for two very important movies, Street Fighter and what I will be talking about today, Mortal Kombat 2. Here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. That's right, folks. The wait is finally over. We have nabbed our first review of the year for the Going to the Arcade series, the first big review of the year. It didn't get postponed. I thought maybe for a moment with all of the moving parts with Netflix and Paramount Plus and HBO Max, Warner Brothers, Discovery, all these businesses in mind, I thought for a moment that maybe it was going to get postponed again, but we are here today to review Mortal Kombat 2. We did it. The five-year wait is over. Fans of Mortal Kombat have been waiting for this movie for 5 years. We could have gotten it last year, but Warner Brothers decided to postpone it, basically with the hopes of turning this into another summer blockbuster for them after the success of Superman last summer. So it's very fresh. I just saw it last night, Friday night, opening night. I'm recording this on Saturday. It is out on Tuesday. So why I will say this, I am going to do this episode as spoiler-free as possible. Normally, I don't care about that, but that's because I usually review movies that are 5, 10, 50 years old. Who cares if I spoil them at this point? This movie, I will have to give away a few things here and there, but I'm going to try and keep some of the main things concealed at this point. I do want to start, again, I'm recording this on a Saturday, so we'll see by Tuesday how everything shakes out. I'm going to start by talking about some of the numeric metrics right off the bat, just to kind of give a pace for how the movie is doing number-wise before I talk about the movie itself.
Fight.
So as of the recording of this episode, when you take the Thursday and Friday box office numbers, MK is estimated to have currently made $17 million. They have an estimated $80 million budget. So currently, the movie is on pace. Expert box office analysts are saying that the movie is on pace to have an opening weekend grossing probably right around $40 million. Its big competition right now is sadly not the Sheep Detectives, but it's Devil Wears Prada 2 is the big competition, and it is going to be close. A lot of people are expecting... again, I'm recording this on Saturday, so a lot of people are expecting tomorrow, Mother's Day, to be a big turnout at the box office for Devil Wears Prada 2, but it is looking like, as of right now, that Mortal Kombat 2 is going to win the box office over this weekend, which is good news, of course, for them and all the whoever the heck owns Warner Brothers at this current moment. It is also has basically already made more money and will potentially double the amount of money that the 2021 film made over the opening weekend as well. Keep in mind, and I totally forgot this before I was looking at the numbers, that the 2021 Mortal Kombat film had a simultaneous box office and HBO Max or Max, whatever it was at the time, release. It was both at the same time. It was 2021. People are still a little hesitant to go out to theaters. So a lot of streaming platforms were still doing the simultaneous box office streaming or box office a couple days later streaming option. That's not happening here with Mortal Kombat 2. It is straight to theaters. No, I don't think there's been any talk of the movie hitting streaming anytime soon. I think Warner Brothers has moved away from that quite a bit in hopes of profiting more off of the movie going experience versus just really funneling everything to streaming. If Netflix, I think Netflix has like pulled out completely of the deal, but that was a big issue or a big concern when it was initially announced that Netflix was going to purchase Warner Brothers, that they were going to basically go back to that kind of like a movie would have an opening weekend and then by Monday be on streaming. So numbers wise, it's doing really well for itself right now. And just as Rob and I predicted in the Mortal Kombat 2021 review, as of right now, as of the recording of this episode, Mortal Kombat 2 has the highest rated freshness of any live action Mortal Kombat film on Rotten Tomatoes. They did it. They are the highest fresh film. Hooray! So it is an exciting, strong opening weekend so far for Mortal Kombat 2. Hooray! Which is great news because they very clearly leave the door open for a sequel. There's, or for a part three. There is no shying away from it. They're off on their next adventure by the end of this movie. Like they have clearly set up a part three. I believe when the original universe was being structured for this new franchise, there was talks of a solo Johnny Cage film, and I believe also a solo Sub-Zero film as well. So we'll have to see with the strength of its opening weekend and hopefully continued strength throughout the next, if it maintains its momentum at least through May until we get to The Mandalorian and Grogu, which is gonna, that's going to upset the basket, I'm assuming. But if it can maintain some strength throughout this month, maybe even throughout the summer, hopefully that means we won't have to wait another 5 years before the next Mortal Kombat project, and instead we could get something much sooner. So all number excitement aside for a moment, how was the movie, Brandon? Well, let me tell you this, folks. Ready? Lean in. If you ask me, which clearly you do, you're listening to this episode after all, I thought Mortal Kombat 2 was very good. I think this is certainly better than the 2021 film. I believe it was Black Belt Magazine who said it best, that this is finally a movie for the fans. Like they redirected the ship a lot in this movie from the last one. I don't think you can say that this movie is a reboot or a requel from the 2021 film, but they are definitely switching gears here for this movie. And I liked it for that. I think it definitely helped my enjoyment of the film. I would say overall, now that I have seen all four movies and covered all four here on the show, I would rank these movies as Mortal Kombat 95, MK2, Annihilation, and then the 2021 film. I went into that 2021 film thinking that was going to be my favorite one because I remembered really enjoying it the first time I saw it. But after rewatching it just as it on its own, and then just like taking in the others and really engrossing myself these past few months in Mortal Kombat lore, I've begun to realize that, like, yeah, that movie's not good. That is not a very weak installment in the Mortal Kombat franchise. MK2 does a really good job redirecting the ship. It does a lot of what the first movie did. Two things that this movie did that was similar to how the 95 film were, that I think has been missing in the other two movies, is this. Number one, they put the cookies on the bottom shelf. This movie is definitely for the fans in the sense of, holy cow, the brutality of this movie. The fatalities are brutal in this movie. Oh my gosh. It definitely takes a page from the horror movie department of the sequel is always supposed to be more intense in kills. And oh by golly, do they deliver on that. But they put the cookies on the bottom shelf in explaining the universe. Within the first 5 minutes of this movie, you understand the rules of the Mortal Kombat tournament. You are introduced to Katana and who she is, her background. You understand who Shao Kahn is. Like, you get a very ground level, here is all the important information and players. It moves right over into Johnny Cage, introducing him. Like, you get all of the basic ground level stuff of new information right off the bat. And they also do this really well of everybody's name is said a bazillion times. Other than Sonya Blade. I don't know if anyone ever said Sonya Blade this entire film, but every other character's name is stated and restated over and over and over again, which may seem tedious, but there are a lot of people in this movie. And as opposed to the 2021 film, where Cole is essentially the main character of that movie, this movie takes on, you could maybe make the argument that Katana is the main character of this movie. From all the promotional material, you would think it was Johnny Cage. No, Johnny Cage is important to this movie, but if there was a main character, it's Katana. But at that, I would say this movie almost works more as a ensemble film, which is also similar to the 95, well, really the 90s movies, where they were more so an ensemble cast. Everybody's working together to accomplish this goal. I'll say more about Cole here in a moment. The other thing that I think this movie does that mirrors the 95 film is that it picks back up a lot of the fantasy elements of Mortal Kombat. I think this was definitely missing in Annihilation and is kind of explained away in the 2021 film with a very specific new addition to the movie. This movie, though, I mean, you have Quan Chi in there, you have Revenant, Wraiths, you have Resurrection, like you have all of these, you have a lot more sorcery going on. The abilities are not explained away through the dragon tattoo arcane thing. Like, it's just people have abilities. Like, it definitely recaptures the fantasy element that I think has definitely been missing in the previous installments. Whereas in that original 95 film, it does a really good job of that movie as well, that is, does a really good job of capturing the, like, it's Mortal Kombat, like, blends so many genres together. Yes, it's martial arts, yes, it's a fighting game, but, you know, as Joe and I discussed, especially in the Drunken Fist Happy Hour, talking about the lore of Mortal Kombat, there's a lot of, like, elder gods, like Lovecraftian cosmic horror kind of thing going on, and there's sorcerers and wizards. Like, it's kind of like martial arts and D&D all kind of meshed together, ninjas and dragons all meshed together. There's a lot going on, but it's really good as a result. It was an element that I think has been missing. Another element that was missing, as I mentioned a moment ago, was the arcane and the dragon tattoo. This was an additional thing that they wrote into the 2021 film. In my review with Robert Miranda from This Seat's Taken, I compared it to in episode one when they introduced the midichlorians to kind of explain how people can be very force sensitive. That's what's going on with the arcane, or whatever it was called, the dragon tattoos. That is completely gone in this movie. There's no reference to it. They never asked Johnny Cage if he has a dragon tattoo. Basically, it's chalked up to the Elder Gods picked you. The end. That's it. That is why he's involved. The Elder Gods think he should be involved in the Mortal Kombat tournament. That's all that has to do with in this movie. This movie also picks up immediately following the events of the 2021 film. It hasn't been 5 years in the Mortal Kombat time. It's been a couple days maybe since the last movie. another big change with this movie moving to more of an ensemble cast feel is Cole is not anywhere near the spotlight. He's a mid-card character at best. That being said, one thing that I think you could definitely still be upset about is the fact that, again, trying to not get too far into spoiler territory, Liu Kang doesn't necessarily move too far up the ranks. He has an amazing fight in this movie. I will say this because I believe this has been shown in trailers. Revenant Kun Lao is resurrected, is brought to fight Liu Kang. And their fight in the movie, I think, is my favorite. And part of that is to do with the fact that it visually looks the most like a Mortal Kombat video game fight. It's very like flat, side-scrolling, back-and-forth style fight. Like, it, yes, it's, I tend to gravitate more towards those fights in the movies where it visually looks like I'm watching a fight as my buddies are playing the game. But like I said, Cole is slid down the ladder to more of a mid-card character here in this movie. And this is going to be a terrible comparison. But to me, again, using Star Wars references of all things, this is very similar to in The Last Jedi. You know, Rian Johnson comes in, does a lot of different changes, kind of makes his own Star Wars movie, even though it's the middle of a new trilogy, introduces Rose. Rose is like this major character in The Last Jedi. And then J.J. Abrams comes back for for The Rise of Skywalker. And Rose is immediately reduced to not even a mid-card character. Like, she has almost no screen time in that third movie. Cole has more, but it kind of felt like okay, a lot of changes were made in MK 2021. We hear you, and we are going to try to redirect the ship. Again, there are some choices that, for a diehard fan, again, Liu Kang is still not quite the centerpiece of the story. I think that they are headed that direction in a very interesting way, trying to stay out of spoiler territory. But at the end of the day, this movie felt more like an ensemble cast with, if there's anybody at the center of it, it's Katana, and they do an amazing job with her. Finally, we have a very good depiction of Katana. They even have a little bit of like a throwaway line. Her and Jade is training Katana for the Mortal Kombat tournament, representing Outworld for Shao Kahn. And there is kind of this throwaway line. Jade gives Katana her fan blades, and she says something to the effect of, "I know that some princesses spend their time fanning themselves on pillows, but I know you're a different kind of princess." And I think, I could be wrong, but I think that's supposed to be a reference to the 95 film, where she's completely irrelevant and, I believe, very literally just sitting on pillows on the beach when they first arrive for the Mortal Kombat tournament. She is awesome here. She is. I do not want to hear. I've seen some of the reviews. I have yet to come across anybody saying anything about Katana. But I just want to make this very clear. If you have a bad taste in your mouth about Katana, shut your mouth. We don't care. We don't care. I want a t-shirt that says, "I am in my princess era," with a picture of Katana on it. Can somebody make me that t-shirt? This was such a strong depiction of Katana, a warrior princess who could take care of herself, who is not just, you know, scantily clad woman character, like how a lot of people tried to cosplay her. Like, she is a strong, independent character who is caring towards her people, who wants freedom for her people out from under the rule of Shao Kahn. It's she's great. She is great in this movie. The look is great. The Blade fans are great. It's good stuff. For the Carl Urban side of things, because I was saying a lot about how I don't know about this whole Carl Urban thing for Johnny Cage. It's good. He's kind of at the center of the story, but you would think that from the previews and whatnot that this was a movie about Johnny Cage. It's not. There are some very good nods towards the character and the Jean-Claude Van Damme inspiration. You know, he's a big action star in the 90s. There's Uncaged Fury, I think, is the movie that they show a clip of with a New Line Cinema, a 90s style New Line Cinema opening to it. He does a split kick to dodge a rocket launcher. At one point, he's fighting Baraka in this movie, and he does drop down into the full splits and punches him square in the ding dong. And yeah, loved all of that. Loved those references. Overall, he was fine. Again, Carl Urban isn't necessarily a draw, though. I do want to thank once again Pixel for reminding me that he does play McCoy in that Star Trek trilogy with Chris Pine, and he is quite good in that role. He was fine. He was funny. He kept the energy going. I will make a note of this, and maybe I'm completely off base about this. So he's got like these super dark sunglasses in the movie, and he's got like this whole pose thing he does. I recreated it for a reel. He's also kind of getting gruff and older, or at least that's how he's portrayed here in this movie. And the whole time I'm watching him, I'm like, I could be absolutely wrong about this. But maybe Carl Urban for a biopic on Rowdy Roddy Piper. Maybe. I don't know how he would look with the really long Piper hair, you know, when he had like not the mullet, but almost like the shoulder length hair he had there for a while. Like, I guess he did have a mullet for a bit too. But there was something about like trying to depict him as like a out of date, out of style 90s action hero that I was like, I can see a little bit of Rowdy Roddy Piper here. I would be interested to see with the hair. I'd be interested to see with him being way more expressionful. I don't think that's the other thing about Carl Urban is I don't think he shows very much expression at all. With some of the characters he plays, that makes sense. McCoy is a very straightforward character, even though Dredd was dreadful, pun intended. That's another character like that makes sense that he's going to play it real straight. Piper, so full of expression. So it might not be my best idea, but just wanted to leave it out there, see what people think. As our time starts to wind down, I should take a little bit of time here to address some of the criticisms about this movie. Because I did say it has the best score of any Mortal Kombat film on Rotten Tomatoes. With a 65%. Keep in mind, the highest one was Mortal Kombat 2021 with a 55. So I read some of the reviews. I've been looking at reviews of other people on Rotten Tomatoes, on Letterboxd, which you can follow this show on there at Kung Fu Pizza, PRTY. And I see the reviews and everyone's like, yeah, the fights are fine, but this, that, this and that, this and that. And I think I can summarize the negative reviews that I hear about Mortal Kombat 2 so far and summarize them like this. I didn't like Mortal Kombat 2 because it's a Mortal Kombat movie. I think at the end of the day, that's the problem. I think that's the thing I have learned over these past few months getting into the world of Mortal Kombat. And honestly, kind of looking at, just to pull back a bit, looking at how fighting games do overall as movies. Street Fighter with Van Damme, 11% on Rotten Tomatoes. Legend of Chun-Li, like a 3. Tekken, zero. And yes, I have heard that that Tekken movie is pretty bad. And Legend of Chun-Li, I've seen it, thought it was pretty boring. But it just seems to me that if you are a film critic person, if you are a film bro, or I've seen more and more that cinephile is catching on as like a term to describe bougie movie people. Can I just say, gross word. Can somebody go back to the drawing board on cinephile? That word sounds icky. Sounds like you're really into like caterpillars or something. I think that if you're just looking for like the big, you know, blockbuster movie going experience, then like wait for The Odyssey. Like there's a white director making a book that white guys love. Like, I mean, it looks good. Don't get me wrong. I'm usually not like a big Christopher Nolan guy, but like, I just think if you are looking for the highbrow stuff, don't even bother going to see video game fight movies. Like don't even bother. I even looked it up to see like what are the highest rated martial art movies on IMDb, like 100%. I was looking initially for 100%, and it either has to be all-time greatest classics like Seven Samurai, not even like classic kung fu, like Enter the Dragon wasn't anywhere near the top, but a cinema classic like Seven Samurai that influenced how we do films here in the West, that's on there. But for the most part, there aren't a lot of 100% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Maybe in the 90, maybe in the 90% region, Kung Fu Hustle was all the way up there at like 90%. Thank God. Love that movie. Yes, Madam, with Cynthia Rothrock and Michelle Yeoh, 100%. That one caught me off guard. Love those two, but they just kind of caught me off guard to see like a random, I think that one was in the 80s, action martial art film all the way that high. I just think that if you are going for the cinema, the high cinema experience, pick a different movie. If you just want some fun action, you're going to love Mortal Kombat 2. It's a lot of fun. Thanks for listening to today's episode. We did it. We managed. We got the first one. Now we're going to turn our attention towards Street Fighter. In a couple months, throughout the course of most of the summer, I'm going to start focusing on some of the other video game action martial art movies that have come out over the past few years. So we're going to be looking at a few other things before we start diving right into the world of Street Fighter. But thank you for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts. Pass this episode along to a friend and check out the other shows here on the Anazao Podcast Network. You can follow Kung Fu Pizza Party on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party. Later this week, I'll be posting some other just like thoughts and stats about Kung Fu or bleh, about Mortal Kombat. So my favorite characters from each movie and things like that. So you can check out that here over the next few days. And check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. That's it. And I'm ready for a palate cleanser. I've enjoyed my ride through Mortal Kombat, but it's time for something different. But thanks for listening. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I've delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.